You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Oh, I can feel redemption on the way.
Welcome to Kingdom Recovery. This is a live, spirit-filled program where no matter what chains a person to a prison of hopelessness, such as alcohol, drugs, sex, or even feelings, God can and will break those chains. Kingdom Recovery is a cutting-edge program where we discuss God's Word through focused teachings, open discussion, and life-changing testimonies.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Kingdom Recovery. This is Luann Linekin. I'm with
James Rich.
And we're also with
Hester Tom Karras.
And
Becky Karras.
Miss Becky Karras. We have a full house today, which is good because I need a full house today. Just in case I have a little bit of a coughing fit. So just to get us rolling here, this is Kingdom Recovery. You're listening to WCNO 89.9, and we're at the King's Table with Pastor Tom, Miss Becky, and James. And they're from my church, Treasure Coast Victory Center in Fort Pierce. And you can find them at 3212 South US 1 in Fort Pierce. So, and also, if you want to contact me, if you want any information that we've been discussing today, we're going to be talking about what is our purpose as kingdom citizens, because I was thinking about what my purpose was before I accepted Jesus Christ. I was always staring at myself saying, what am I here for? What's the purpose? What's the plan? I mean, I was always hitting a brick wall, not knowing why I was even here. And when I came into the kingdom of God and I started spending time in his presence, more and more was revealed to me as I got more spiritually mature. So, and that's, we're going to be discussing that topic with everyone today. You can reach me at 631-745-7980. So I want to start with the daily reading for our Treasure Coast Victory Center news reel that we do on, and you can find us on Facebook if you want to get a daily reading. And today is, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And that's John 3:3. Nicodemus came and asked, how can you do such miracles? How can you do such mighty works? Why is God with you and not with us? We are religious. We wear the right clothing, eat with washed hands, keep all the rituals and traditions we know. We pray the right prayers. We spend hours in the synagogue. Why you and not me? Why is God with you and so far away from me? Jesus replied, you must be born again. It seems here that Jesus avoided the question, that he completely ignored poor Nicodemus. Yet, he was giving him the answer to the question, to the cry of his heart. Do you, Nicodemus, want to have God with you? Do you want to do these signs and wonders and miracles? Because when you are born again, God is with you. You may go to a church, you may serve there faithfully, but you must be born again. You may be at every church function, you may usher, greet at the door, be an elder in the church, but you must be born again. You may be Catholic, Methodist, Lutheran, non-denominational, but you must be born again. It is the new birth that allows God to be with you, and once with you, his power will also be with you. What is the key to spiritual living? You must be born again. Are you? If you aren't, then what are you waiting for? Amen. That's so good. And that's what our question today is. What is our purpose? So Pastor Tom, you want to talk a little bit about this wonderful topic?
Yeah, and that was a good question. Are you?
Yeah.
Amen. I mean, are you born again? You know, when I was, even before I got saved, basically, I'm sort of a why man. Why? Mm. You know, why am I here? What am I doing on earth? What am I doing in the middle of this mess? How come I'm here? What's going on? And then I got born again, and it never changed my why. I was still on a why am I here? What am I doing here? What am I supposed to be doing here? Why did God put me here?
Right.
What's going to happen when I get out of here? Mm-hmm. You know, and all that stuff. And I think everybody in the world has yeah. done that already. I mean, whether you're saved, not saved, know
That's
Jesus
right.
Christ, don't know Jesus Christ, you're wondering what the heck I'm doing here for these 80, 90 years or whatever I'm going to be here. So basically, it's actually the second chapter of the book, Kingdom Now, that I want to talk about.
Amen.
It's called God's Big Picture. And if you want to copy the book, you can get one. They're absolutely free. They make a wonderful Christmas gift because they're free.
Amen.
And they don't cost you too much. You don't have to charge anything or anything. Just contact the studio here or contact Luann, and we'll get them to you.
Yes,
you know,
we're
trying to get them out to help people understand the kingdom of God and the things of God. And when I started searching for the why am I here and why did God even do what God did, mm-hmm. the only thing I could find was in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, where it tells me that God is love. And when I thought, well, God just doesn't have love, he is love. And then when I started looking at love, of course, in the Bible many times it's called charity, in other words, to give. So if God is love, I think it was in his heart to give to someone, to give something to do, and he had no one, so he decided to create an offspring.
Amen.
Or a man in his image and likeness, because he basically wanted to give to that man, you know, something and be part of it. And like anybody else, you know, when Becky and I got married, of course, we wanted offspring. And
mm-hmm.
as a couple, we didn't want a dog. We didn't want a cow. We wanted something in our own image and likeness, something we could relate to, something that someone that I could have time with and teach and learn from and everything else. So we wanted to have children. So I believe God was the same way. He's a loving God. He needs to have charity. He needs to be able to give. So he decided to create this man who we are, and he created us out of the dust of the ground, and basically he wanted to have offspring. He wanted to have sons and daughters, and he wanted to be able to bring them into his family and have a family, much like, you know, a lot of things in your own life that you desire are the same things that God actually
Amen.
Desires.
That's right.
You know, you don't have all these desires and you don't have the same ones, but you do have the same ones because you're created in his image and in his likeness. So I think that's why we were here to begin with. It really had nothing to do with us. And then you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, was when I started reading the Bible, that was right at the front. And basically it said, God created the heavens and the earth. So, of course, being me, I said, why? Why would God create heaven and create our earth? What the heck is he? I mean, was he bored? Sitting up there saying, oh, man, I've had it. I haven't done anything in weeks. I might as well do it. Let's do a heaven. Let's do an earth. Let's do a spiritual place, a physical place. But what God was doing actually was trying to get us involved to be co-laborers with him,
Amen.
To be part of his family. I always call it to be part of God and sons.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, so he created a spiritual place called heaven, and he became the king and the ruler over that, but he wanted his sons also to be rulers. So he created a physical place called the earth, and he made us spiritual beings on a physical earth so that we could rule and reign on the earth. So his original plan was basically, and this is something I never knew before, because when you get born into this world, you wonder what the heck God was really doing.
Right.
But you got to go back to the very beginning, and when God created mankind, he fully expected this earth that we're living on right now was supposed to be just like heaven.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a replica of heaven itself. That's what his plan was. That's why he created man in his image and in his likeness, so that we'd be put on this earth, we would rule over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28, it tells us that basically we have been created in his image, in his likeness. And when he made man, basically one of the things he did, he breathed into us his spirit.
Amen.
And if you think about that, the day that you got born again, which we talked about earlier, Jesus said to his disciples, receive ye the spirit. And receive the spirit means to receive it again. Re always means again. So in other words, man lost the spirit of God, and God was giving us the Holy Ghost back at that time. So God had this big plan. He was going to rule and reign in heaven, in the spiritual realm. We were going to be on the physical earth as physical beings. We were going to rule on the earth. And basically at that time, we were going to produce after our own kind. Mm-hmm. In other words, everybody born was going to be born in the image and likeness of God, because everything in the Bible, and it's a law, it produces after its own kind. I mean, if you have a cow, it's going to have a calf. It's not going to have a horse. You know, if you plant corn and you get wheat, it was a miracle. Something's wrong. So everything produces after its own kind, and God just wanted really mankind to continue to produce with God's character, God's nature, so that the earth, even though it was physical, was going to be just like heaven, which right. was spiritual, and it was going to be a wonderful place of righteousness and peace and joy, basically, in the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, and so he created everything with a purpose. He created us with a purpose For we are his workmanship. And it says that in Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when God ordains us, you know, with a mandate, a purpose, and when we understand it, life, even though there is trials, it's so much easier when it lines up with God's will. You know, even no matter what's going on. My whole life, I mean, I had really some good days. We were successful financially, but I was miserable. Mm-hmm. I wasn't lining up with God's word. So it didn't matter how much money you had in the bank. It didn't matter how many good days you had. They were fleeting. It never felt fulfilling. When you're lining up with God's will, and it is unto his, it's for his pleasure. We were created for him. He gave us, in his image and likeness, the desire to give also and be fruitful and multiply. So, and that's what really is motivating every day. Like when I wake up, even if I'm not feeling well, like I'm not, I wake up and I know God has an assignment for me. It doesn't matter because I don't feel good. It's not about my feelings. It's about my purpose, you know? And when we understand the plan and purpose that God has for, like you said, even the earth he created before us so that we would be fully equipped mm-hmm. with everything we need so that we can fulfill his plan and purpose for us. And when we just let go and let God, and we were talking about that, James, about 6 and 7. When we were talking about 6 and 7. when we were talking about 6 and 7, about letting go and letting God. It's like letting go of our own ideas and ways. And I also believe that God's not going to tell us who to marry or what where to live. But whatever we do, do it unto him. And he will bless it, ordain it, and prosper it. Because he tells us to be fruitful and multiply. But a lot of people get confused. They think they have to wait for God to tell them exactly who, what, when, where. And that's frustrating mm-hmm. because I know I was guilty of that in the beginning. You know, like I can't do anything unless I know for sure. I got to pray. I got to, you know, do all these things. Meanwhile, it's just the more time you spend in his presence, the flow starts to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And purpose is, I mean, anything that created even in the natural realm has a purpose, and if it's not fulfilling that purpose, it's never going to be successful.
Amen.
I mean, it can be the nicest looking car in the whole wide world, can be shiny, have the greatest tires in the world, but if mm-hmm. it don't run and be able to take you someplace, it's not fulfilling its purpose, therefore it's not successful. So basically when I was doing the why thing and trying to figure things out, I was living life, but I wasn't living in my purpose. And unless I'm living in my purpose, I'm not being fulfilled in life because that's why God put me here to begin with. So you can fall into this category of where you get up in the morning, you go to work, you work 8 hours, you come home, you eat supper, you watch a TV show, you go to bed. The next day you get up in the morning. Mm-hmm. You do. I mean, the same thing, monotonous thing over and over and over again. When you're younger, you know, you're sort of bright and hopeful that things are going to be really good and they're going to work out and all this stuff. But when you get a little bit towards middle age, you start to wonder, is this what I'm putting here?
Right.
Is this my life, for gosh sakes? I'm going to work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, save money, pay the mortgage. Is that all I'm here to do? Mm-hmm. And after a while, it can actually get discouraging. You know, it can get discerning,
yes.
it can get disgusting, and it's only because you're not fulfilling the purpose. And if you don't know your purpose, there's a good chance you're probably not fulfilling your purpose because you have to know your purpose to begin with. So when you understand God's big picture, and you're a part of God's big picture, I don't care where you live, I don't care how old you are, I don't care if you're male or female, black, white, doesn't make any difference. God puts you here because he needs you in this time to fulfill your purpose
Amen.
For his kingdom desire. And what he wants to do is restore it the way he originally wanted to do.
Right.
In other words, he wants the earth realm to come back into a place, his kingdom come, his will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So he's trying to basically, you know, the whole church teaches you to get saved and then and pray and do your best to get to heaven, but God never wanted you in heaven. He wanted heaven to be in the earth, and he wanted it to come through mankind. So if you got born again and you're just waiting to go to heaven and just hanging around until it's time to go, then you're missing a lot of good time in your life where you're supposed to be doing God's work here on the earth and bringing the kingdom of God into this earth realm. And God had everything set up perfectly, mm-hmm. but once again, man screwed it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Adam and Eve rebelled against the government of God. They sinned. All they had to do was not eat off the fruit of one tree, which they rebelled. And when they did that, they threw everything into a mess, basically.
Yeah.
Mankind, you know, got separated from God. The Bible says, if you eat of the fruit of the tree, you will die on that day. And of course, he didn't die physically, but he died spiritually on
right.
that day. He became a dead spirit that was separated from God's plan, from God's purpose, from connecting with heaven all the way around. He lost the nature of God, the image and likeness, and he took on the nature and the image of someone else,
right,
whom we know as the Prince of Darkness, which is the devil himself. In other words, man, yep, was thrust into an evil nature. And at that time, then basically man was separated from God. And everything in God's character that he had given to man started to reverse.
That's right.
In other words, man didn't have faith anymore. He had fear. He didn't have trust anymore. He lived in worry. And you can see it even in the garden from very, very very fact, as soon as he started in sin, God came around to see his man. And his man says, God says, where are you? He says, I'm hiding because I'm afraid of you. Well, he was never afraid of God before. So his nature had been changed on the inside of him to this evil nature. And because of that evil nature, he now had a sin nature. And God said, you know, what happened? What's going on here? And of course, like all of us, we blamed it on somebody else.
Yes.
You know, it's that wife thou hast gave me. How many of you ever used that one? It's not going to work. You know, and then he went on, that wife that you gave me.
Mm-hmm.
So not only was it the wife's fault, it was God's fault. It certainly wasn't his fault. You know, had nothing to do with him. So you can see all those characteristics in us before we were born again, and you can see in the world today. That's right. The way the world operates. Nobody's at fault for anything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's fine. It's somebody else's fault all the time. We're not responsible for everything. So what happened then was it discontinued God and sons.
Right.
Instead, put it on hold to a place now where the evil nature was the inside of man, and he could no longer extend God's nature because he didn't no longer have God's nature. So that's why something had to be done. You know, right off the bat, Cain and Abel.
Mm-hmm.
Brother killed a brother. You could see everything that was going on then from the switch that took place in the character, because we lost the spirit of God. We lost the authority of God. We lost the power of God. And we also lost our purpose,
yep,
which nobody knows. And if you're born in the earth and you don't go back to the very beginning to find out what your purpose was, you're never going to operate in your purpose. And years go by and they go by. And all that time, we're basically wasting time because we're not doing what we're called here to do.
Amen. It's the truth. That's right. So, and then one of the reasons, that's why it's important that we seek God first in all that we do, because he will lead the way. He will show us the way. Sometimes I don't even know what my day is going to look like, and I start prayer with the Lord or scripture, and then all of a sudden it starts to unravel. Like, oh, I know I read that this morning, or, you know, he was talking to me about that, you know, ministering as I worship, you know, whenever I'm getting ready, I put on worship music. I do things just like a lifestyle. I'm not purposely doing it. It's just part of the way my day routine is. And that's what we've been really talking about in Kingdom Recovery with people. How to have a lifestyle with God. You know, how to walk with God every day. And not just it's really a natural way of living. It's more natural, like you would say.
Mm-hmm.
The supernatural is more natural than
natural,
what,
yeah,
the reality of what we see, hear, smell, and taste with our senses are. Our heart senses is more real and really is what manifests the natural. So if your heart's not right, you're going to start manifesting the things that aren't right, that aren't lining up with God. And that's why he tells us to check our heart, to make sure that we're pure-hearted, lining up with him. Because if we do, eventually even our prayers start to change. They line up with God's prayers. It's like, what would you have me do today? Where would you have me go? What would you like me to do today to serve? Because that's a service heart is really what was planted, especially when you get born again. And that's how you know the difference. You know, a lot of people say, well, how do I know if I'm born again? You start to change. I mean, that's the first sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you start to see fruit. And if that's something, and you recoil from things that don't line up with God. And I'm not saying major things right away, but little things start to happen in the beginning. And it's not like I asked for them. They just started to happen. And that's what happens when you get born again. You start to desire less of the worldly things and more of God things. And you have a hunger and a thirst to want to know about God. You know, Becky's here with me and we went to Israel. I always say, I feel like that's when Jesus, my husband, took me to meet his family. I used to say that. You remember on the trip?
Yeah.
And it was such a great experience. It's like I really put my life as him, as my husband, and things that I do, like I'm experiencing things with God all day long, like a marriage, you know? And that's not only like a relationship, I should say. It's not only a marital relationship like we know as a husband and wife, but everything we have is a relationship. Our money, God's in it. God is, you know, he's the head of my money. He's the head of, you know, my children, everything I do. So, and it becomes a lifestyle. So you're not, and then the purpose and the plan, it's not a surprise anymore. You just start, you know, the more you read about him and who he is and what he desires, the easier it is every day to go through a day, even when you're having challenges, even when you're not feeling well. Praise God. You have anything you want to say, James?
No, I'm just listening. I think y'all got it covered this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because you, even when you get saved and you get born again, for me, I guess it was the religion that I learned or something, everything was my plan, and God needs to bless my plan.
Yes.
In other words, I don't know how this is going to work. I know what I need, God. This is what I need. This is where I'm going. This is what I'm supposed to do, and you need to back me up. You need to help me with this. And the more I tried to do that and the more I failed, I finally learned out this might not be it. And one time when I was praying, I had my grocery list, you know, meet my mortgage, pay for my kids' school, blah, 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 blah. I had it all wrote down, and basically God said, have you ever prayed about what I will?
Amen.
And I said, well, no. Does that matter? You know, we're talking about me here, you know, not about you. And then as I started growing closer to him, I found out that the only thing I really want for my prayer time is to know his will, not my will. And when I started following his will, once again, by seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things that I spent all my time in prayer for started being added to me without me even praying for the darn things.
That's
I've been messing up for the last 10 years. So I started going after God. And like you said, a closer relationship with him. As you do that, you start to lose yourself, sort of, and you start to get into God's heart, what God really wants to do. And thank God, after Adam and Eve messed up, God didn't say, that's it. I have had it with these people. You know, the heck with them. No, he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, who came to the earth. And what did he come for? He came to start the process all over again, to go to the cross, to change man back into his image and likeness, to fill him with his spirit, to give you authority and power. What for? So we could go back to Genesis 1 and start doing what we're put here to do. And we're put here basically to extend God's kingdom or to reproduce heaven here on the earth. And of course, that has to do with our character, and it has to do with our nature now that we have. And we've got some stuff in us that needs to be removed because we were brought up in the other world, the kingdom of darkness. But the Bible says you've now been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, and you've been translated into the kingdom of the Son of God. So now, once again, I'm back on. What is my main purpose? It's to extend his kingdom and his heavenly ways back into this earth, not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday night. And thank God, when he went to the cross, not only did he give us the opportunity to be born again, but he also slapped the snot out of the devil while he was down there, praise God, and he bound him. So because he did that, it gives us the opportunity to be whatever we want to be according to the word of God without Satan holding us back, unless we allow him to hold us back, because he's already been defeated. So as mankind started to take on the same nature of God, the same character of God, basically what happened is we started to reproduce God's nature in the earth. Now notice the other nature still in here in the earth. I mean, just turn on the news, you'll see how it's gone and what's happening. But that nature's there. So that nature change is what was done on the inside of you when you got born again. Many people don't even know that. But there was a nature change on the inside of you. You were born back in the image and likeness of God himself. That's why you can't do what you used to do and get away with it anymore.
Amen. Amen.
You can't think the way you used to think. You can't talk the way you used to talk. You can't do things in the natural that you used to do, because your heart will condemn you, because that's not you anymore.
Amen.
So basically the Bible says all have sinned, because all of us were born after Adam, and we're born in the image and likeness of Adam because he was the original one who sinned. The Bible takes that and says that just like he was in the garden and sinned and lost the nature of God, so are we.
That's right.
You know, what he did, we got credit for. And people say, well, that ain't fair. And I don't think it's fair either, but I didn't do it. You know, it wasn't my fault. You can't really blame me. So basically, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, which is the manifestation of the nature of God and the ability of God and characteristics of God on the inside of us. So that nature now has been placed in us, and now as we get in agreement with that nature, we can start manifesting the glory of God all over again in this earth realm. They're never going to know God's love unless they see it in our life.
Right.
They're never going to know God's power unless it's taking place through us. They're never going to know God's healing, God's love, all this stuff, unless it comes through a human being, because those people are not spiritual yet who aren't born again. They can't even see or understand the Spirit according to the Bible until they get born again. So we're his representatives. We're his sons and daughters. We're the ones who's supposed to be doing the job. God is not in control on the earth. It's not up to him to do the job. He created us back in the beginning to do the job, and now we're responsible. And I know everybody hates that word,
Right.
No, I don't want any responsibility. I don't want any responsibility. God does it. God does everything. If he does it or not. A good thing happened, it was God. Bad thing happened, it was God. No, God does good, and everything he does is good, but he needs help here in the earth realm because he gave us the authority and the dominion here on the earth realm to extend his kingdom back in.
Amen. And that's why even when in John 3:3 it says we'll see the kingdom when we're born again. We can't seek the kingdom if we can't see the kingdom. That's why it's so crucial that we get born again and a new nature comes in. It's the soul that needs renewing daily. Daily we need to read the word so the word can transform and we can start to hear clear through our heart, not just our head. Head knowledge got me nowhere. No matter how much information I tried to put in there, it got me to a dead-end place all the time. It wasn't until I allowed my heart to surrender, and that's becoming accountable. When I became accountable, truthful with myself, you know, like, it's not people, places, and things that's my problem. It was me. It was me not surrendering, not wanting to let God do I wanted to be God, actually. I wanted it to be my way. When I would do prayers, and it's even before I was born again, praying, they call him, in programs, they call him foxhole prayers. Just get me out of this one, God, and I promise I'll go to church. I promise I'll do these things, right? And that's the same thing even in the beginning of Christianity. If you know, now that I know you, I gave my life to you, you know, help me out with all these things. But that's not what it is. And you were saying about... Let me just think. I can't remember what you said about being fruitful. Manifesting who he is being fruitful and multiplying. Mm-hmm. So when people hear these words, when he says be fruitful and multiply, he's saying multiply me. Multiply the seed of Christ in you and the anointing in you that's through me. That's how we have an anointing. It's through Jesus Christ, his seed, that we get to. And if we're Christ followers, we're anointing followers of the anointed one. Of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So when we say we are anointed, when you're born again, you're righteous, you're holy, you're all these things, and we're following, but he says, follow me. Jesus always says, follow me. That's the hard part. We all want to come into the kingdom and then just live wild. You can't do that. God can't be in that presence. The kingdom of heaven is pure. It's not going to allow rebels. You know, coming in and out and being on one side one day, one side the other day. You have to make a decision, and it's daily. It's a daily reprieve. Your spiritual condition is based on your daily reprieve, like what you do daily. It's not because I can't depend on yesterday's spiritual condition for today. You know, and I can't say, well, I did all this for tomorrow because I don't even know if I'm going to be here tomorrow. You know, so what I do on a daily basis, sometimes it's minute by minute. I can get in the car and lose myself in a second. And get in my way right away. So I have to, but the beautiful thing is that we have an opportunity, if you are letting God tenderize your heart, to get that heart conviction and then say, forgive me, Father. You know, where am I rushing? Something happened. Oh, I hit a light. It was on the way to church, I think, on Sunday. I hit a light. Like, I made a bad decision, so I thought. I hit a light twice. You know, I had to sit there because I moved over and it was red light. And then I had to sit there again. And I said, okay, God. I turned it around because I was being cranky. And
come on.
And I confessed.
I don't believe that.
I confessed it to the church. I was very cranky because my shirt smelled. Anyway, and my son said something. He's like, why are you so cranky? I wasn't feeling well. And I let the feelings get over me. And I'm over my feelings. You know, I have to come over it. So, and I said, okay, God, you obviously have a plan. And I'm trying to change it or do something in my own will because it's not working out the way I want. I didn't like the way the parking lot was cut through. I mean, that's when I know that I'm putting the cart. You're saying that, like, I'm going to do all these things. Now you have to bless me because they're all good things, God. You know, so isn't that what you're supposed to be doing? Aren't you like Santa Claus? since around Christmas? And that's not who God is. He's definitely sovereign and he's going to do his plan. But if you don't know his plan, you're gonna talk out of line. You're gonna pray out of line. You're gonna desire things out of line. So,
I knew somebody was gonna bring Santa Claus in. Yeah. It's just a matter of time before somebody did it. So,
oh, and we're also supposed to lay hands on the sick, cast out demons. That's manifesting who he is. That's expanding the kingdom of God here on earth. And that's James. That's James. What's that, right?
And we cast out demons. by getting people to obey the word.
Amen.
First off, so they don't have legal rights. We don't open the door of our house and leave the garbage in the center of the floor and keep running the rats out. No, we move the garbage out. So it's all lining up with the word.
Amen.
Yeah, and you just start doing the purpose. That's the thing that really changes you and does everything. I mean, you can become the most wonderful, self-righteous, and even holy person and everything in the world, but if you're not doing the purpose that you were put here for, it really doesn't make any difference
right. Anyway.
You are here to extend the kingdom into other people's life. I mean, and you can get somebody born again right after you got born again because you knew how to get born again because you were born again.
Amen.
So if you were born again, then just tell somebody about the Lord. Go around and talk to somebody about the kingdom. And as you start to reach out to other people and get you off your mind, that change really starts to take place on the inside of you. There's something exciting about extending the kingdom.
Yes,
I don't
is.
Know what it is, but you can have a great day, all this stuff. But if you bring somebody to the Lord or you help somebody with a word of knowledge or whatever to help them get closer to God, it just does something on the inside of you because, once again, that's your fulfillment. That's your purpose that you were put here for. So don't think so much about your conduct and your this and that. Am I doing right? Am I doing wrong? It doesn't matter that much if you're doing right or wrong. How about extending the kingdom?
Amen.
And then you'll start doing right. You'll see how good it is, and you'll start to change on the inside because sometimes we complicate the gospel, but Jesus didn't do that when he came. As a matter of fact, all he preached was the kingdom of God, and all he demonstrated was the kingdom of God. I mean, we teach faith, and we teach this, and we teach that sometimes, and there's nothing wrong with that, but how many know it can get confusing after a while? Because every time I got a revelation in faith, then we went to healing, and then I went to healing and lost my faith, then when I got to this, I started getting confusing. But as long as you're doing what your purpose is here to do, that is the main thing. That's what starts to fulfill you on the inside. And for some reason, it makes you, it gets addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You get addicted to it. Oh, once you save somebody, you say, wow, that was good. I got to do that again. You know, it's like everything else. You eat a candy bar every day for a week. You want one or two every day for a week. Mm-hmm. It's the way it works. So you get to a place where you continue to do that. And then God, I think, reveals to you who you are by your identity. Because as long as you're trying to turn yourself into something that God says you are, you're wasting your time because you already are.
Hallelujah.
And the thing is with God, God's in the spirit. He's a spiritual realm, and he's not like us. We think of the past, we think of the now, and we think of the future, and God lives in the I am. He's not in the past, he's not in the future. So everything God declared about you is done. He declares the end from the beginning. Now, we certainly don't do that, but he does. So when he declares you're healed. Amen. The day he declared you were healed. Not when you feel better, not when you look better, not anything else. You're full of power of God. The day that he declared the anointing of God is in your life. That's when you don't have to work towards it. You don't have to fight towards it. When he declared it, it was done. And when it was done, now all you got to do is believe it's done and walk in it. And then you can start walking and manifesting it. And you go a little bit at a time, you get people saved, but then pretty soon, you know, as you become a disciple of someone else, you'll start discipling others after a period of time. That's what it's all about. It's a continual growing that comes. You just don't stay in one spot and you sit there and, well, I'm saved, I'm gone to heaven, that's enough for me, because heaven has really been, people say, in the great fall, man fell from heaven. No, man was never in heaven.
Amen.
How could he fall from heaven when he wasn't in heaven? He was created here on the earth. So it's not getting to heaven is our goal. It's a byproduct of you entering the kingdom of God. And because of that byproduct, now I want to do God's will. Remember what Jesus said? I just want to do the will of my Father. Was it easy? No. Right before the cross, he had a little argument.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this don't sound like it's going to be much fun, but if this is what you want me to do, you know, I'll do it. And it's that way for us too, but he just wanted to do the will of the Father. And when you get to the place where you want to help with God and sons, you want to help with the big picture that's back, and we can do it now because we can reproduce after our own kind.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Before that, I was reproducing after the other kind.
That's right.
If I ran into somebody who didn't know what they were doing, I taught them how to drink. I taught them how
to
sin. I made them experts, praise God. I was extending the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness is still being extended in the earth, but so is the kingdom of God. And of course, light is bigger than darkness. So little by little, we're taking over
territory,
this atmosphere in the families, in life, in our finances and everything else. And we're bringing heaven back into the earth realm. And we're going to, sooner or later, it's going to become a complete replica of heaven. But we're in the process of doing it right now, little
Amen.
By little.
Amen. And the kingdom of heaven is when you get born again, you've just entered into the kingdom. You get a piece of land that's your heart, and your heart can expand into other people and further and further. So it's not, we don't have to get born again and then die to get to heaven. We get it. As soon as you get born again, you receive everything God had already done. Everything he's done. It's like when he created man. Man received everything God did before he created man. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing when you get born again. Everything is done. All the healing, all the prosperity, all the victory, everything that we need is complete. He fully equipped us like he did before he even created us. He did the same thing when we got born again. We're fully equipped with everything he is. Everything that he has, he gave to us freely. So he says freely give. But if you don't believe that you received it, you can't give something you don't think you have. So the whole thing is really getting to know him through his word. And not only, yes, I read the word, but I also am under people who speak his word, who are aligned, yoked evenly, aligned with God's word, leading me towards Christ. If somebody you're mentoring you or anything, if they're not leading you, it's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit leads you. They're Holy Spirit filled. They should be leading you to Father God, Jesus Christ. And that's it. That's the only thing. Not all this other stuff. Because not buying pieces of land in heaven. you know what I mean? It should be...
Profitable.
Yeah. What does God say about this? What does Jesus... Mm-hmm. What did Jesus do? What's in the Word of God? Leading you to the Word of God. Because it's only through the Word of God that people have been transformed. Even in Kingdom Recovery at my house, at Treasure Coast Victory Center. Every one of us who's born again is a miracle. That's the first miracle performed in your life. And then if you had addictions other than... addicted to God. I mean, that's the only addiction. I mean, we have these things, these desires of our heart to want to pursue things, right? The things. But God says you don't need to defocus on all those things in the world. Just focus on him. Seek him. And all those other things become so minimal and they're not as important, but you get them. You get them. You don't have to think about those things. And it's so much more pleasing in our life, my life. You know, but to pursue him is a desire that he put in each one, in every born again person. If you're not nurturing that, then it's not going to grow. That's basically, you know. And how do we do it? By being in with people who are like minded, that are reading the same word we're reading, that are leading and guiding us and helping us through it. And like Pastor said, we get disciples for. I can't be a disciple to someone else if I don't. If I don't submit and learn how to be discipled. So.
And again, when people start moving, I don't know. You're looking at me, said I say that? I didn't have anything, but I'm just coming off the hip. Get people moving their purpose. That's in yes. Discipling people. If you can discern their giftings and get them to move forward and start moving their giftings, it changes their life. I have a group of people. I met this guy like 5 weeks ago. And God was just doing something, and he was a Baptist guy. But you can tell there's an excitement in your spirit when God's trying to draw you to somebody. So I started talking to the guy, and I'd be so excited just talking to him about, we weren't even talking about anything real spiritual, anything, but just my spirit would be excited. So I went over his Bible study, and about all of them, I think, are Baptist, but young people, and... Then I ended up praying with someone the second time I went there, and God is his grandfather. He just did a bunch of healing, healed things I didn't pray for, his neck. He couldn't lift his arm up and shave, healed that. And I didn't pray for, I'd pray for his back because he's on a walker, and he'd healed his back, and he put new skin where he'd had cancer on his ear. And he healed like three other people. And then the next week, they're like excited, and the lady, his mother was next to me, she says, "That's awesome you're sharing that gift." And I'm thinking, well, we're going to straighten that out next time. So sure enough, they want me to pray for this guy. Young guy's elbow arthritis. And pray for him first. And God healed him. I said, "Squat down." He's like, "Well, I can squat." The guy says, "Can you do push-up?" He goes, "No, not in 3 years." And he's doing a bunch of push-ups. He actually went home and put 210 pounds on the bench press and did it 10 times that night. But he said, "Well, pray for my eyes." God healed his eyes. He's reading this fine print. I'm like, they pulled the Bible out. I'm like, nobody can read that. And he read that thing. And then, so then somebody else needed prayer. And I was like, "It's your turn." The one that was healed, like, "What?" And I'm like, and I got him to pray. And I told him what to say. they got healed, and then I got someone else to pray for the next one, and we had like 10 people healed, but I was getting them to pray, and they are so excited. And that was week four, last week, had them pray for, I did pray for neuropathy, just I thought maybe I'd rebuke that one, but she was healed and a bunch of stuff too. But God is just moving, but this place is so excited. And like 5 weeks ago, they was just Amen. Sitting there like, and they're like, they're all talking to each other. They're like, their life has changed. So just getting people moving out and their gifts, mm-hmm. I think is huge.
Yeah. And that's what you were saying, Pastor, that it's exciting.
Yeah, I was agreeing with him.
It's exciting when you start to operate as a son of God, you know, and you are a partner with him, and you see how the corporation grows, mm-hmm. you know, because I did the same thing. Someone in my family had an accident, and they're in New York. So they called me for prayer, and I said to my cousin, put your hand on your sister and pray this prayer. And nice. Yeah, and that's what we have to do. It's not me. It's God's word that's healing. It's what God did for us, all of us.
Well, he was limited to one body. Mm-hmm. So he had to go to the Holy Spirit, and he could have millions of bodies. But unfortunately, he'll enter a body, and then they want to be the only one. I'm like, no, he's trying to eliminate that. He's trying to get us all doing it.
Yeah, amen.
That's his purpose for having to go and send the Holy Spirit. So instead of moving through one body, now he can move through thousands.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, and how's your life gone? I mean, just think about it right now. I mean, you're listening to us right now, and maybe he's thinking, boy, those people are out there, they're in there, wherever we are. But the thing is, I mean, what are you doing? How are you doing? How's your life? I mean, are you born again, gone to heaven, gone to work, wore out, tired mm-hmm. of life? It's because you're not in a spiritual atmosphere and a spiritual movement of you. You've got to go to a place where people are teaching you how to operate in these things and excite the spirit on the inside
Amen.
Of you. And I'm not telling you to quit your job, get a divorce, run away from your kids. I'm telling you that everything that you can do is an opportunity to extend the kingdom of God. When you get up in the morning and you have your little prayer time, you go to work, you're going to work, and I guarantee you wherever you work, there's people there who don't have the faintest idea about Jesus Christ or the kingdom of God or anything else.
Right.
And if you learn more and more about the kingdom and what it did for me, when I started finding out what I got by becoming a kingdom citizen, that I was healed and I was delivered and I was blessed and I was all these things, it was like bringing people out of a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom, in other words, into another country. You know, we got the southern border down there. Everybody's trying to get into the United States.
That's right.
Why are they doing that? Because the United States is a better place to be mm-hmm. and a better country.
Because it's founded on God.
What's that?
Because it's founded on God, and God bless it. They all want in, and they want to change it. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Anyway, as I was saying, they come across the border because it's a better place to do it. But now, if you got saved and you still think you're in Mexico, you know, you're not going to be too excited about bringing people in, basically, at that time. So the more that you learn and you get these people in, they are ready for it. There's people out there who are ready for a change.
Yes.
I believe if you're listening tonight, you are ready for a change. You want to do something. So when I used to go to work in the morning, I went with one thing to do, not to work 10 hours, not to make a bunch of money, but to lead somebody on my mail route back then, or somebody in the office. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to extend the kingdom of God. When I went to lunch, what did I go to lunch for? To eat, of course, but also to extend the kingdom
Amen.
Of God. When I got home at night, I wanted to put the kingdom of God as much as I could in my wife and my children. Sometimes they weren't happy about it, but that's the way it went, praise God. And I mean, wherever you go, even at church, you know, there's people who come to church on Sunday morning who need a little hug,
Amen.
Who need a little smile, who need something. What are you doing? You're extending the kingdom, but that has to become your number one priority if you want to get serious about it and start doing it. And once you start doing that and fulfilling your purpose, you're going to feel like life is fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
You almost get to a point, you know, where you're scared to die, and then you say, man, I don't care if I really die or not, because I'm having so much fun yeah. down here. It's probably just, I won't even know when I cross
right.
over pretty
Amen.
Soon
That's
if I
true.
Keep going the way I'm doing. So you've got to put God's purpose first. You've got to put his big picture first, and that is to have the earth just like heaven. But the only way he can do that is through his children who are here, who are full of his spirit. And
that's right.
And the main CEO of God and sons is basically the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah.
He's the one who teaches. He's the one who trains. He's the one who does everything. And the Bible even said he's really the only one. I cannot see, ear cannot hear the things of the Spirit. But then the Spirit of God knows God's heart and your heart at the same time. And he can reveal God's heart, his will, what he wants, even his emotions and everything else can be revealed to you and God almost become one. Basically doing his work and extending his kingdom. So basically the big plan of God is the same big plan that was in Genesis chapter 1. It didn't change in Ezekiel. It didn't change in Romans. It didn't change anywhere else. All these are part of it from the very beginning of what God wants to do. He wants every person in the world to come into the kingdom of God.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter how good or how bad they are. The Bible even says he's already forgiven them for what they've done wrong,
right,
and he has reconciled them to himself. So the problem is not their sins. The problem is their ignorance of what they can be. And they can get born again. And when you get born again, the change takes place on the inside of you. And then you start working towards your purpose. And I'll tell you, life will start being fulfilled. Things will get exciting. You know, going to work will be exciting.
Yeah,
going to
exactly.
Going to the mall will be exciting. Mm-hmm. It won't be the same. Oh, you know, Becky used to shop and I wasn't a real good shopper. And basically she'd want to go to the mall and I'd go along, but I didn't go along in a nice attitude when I went to the mall. We want to go to the mall, I'll go along to the mall. That's fine. I'm going to sit out in the middle of the mall. That's all I'm going to do. So you go ahead and shop, and we're going to have fun. I'll tell you that right now. And no, we weren't going to have fun. And of course, every 5 minutes, she'd been shopping now for an hour and 7 minutes, an hour and 9 minutes. And what I was doing was wasting time.
That's right.
Getting miserable, getting upset, wasting time. Now I go to the mall and I sit there and I just hope. I don't care if I go to the mall. I'm just looking for somebody to walk by. I'm looking to run into somebody. Mm-hmm. I'm looking to, why? Because my radar is up now and I have a purpose for going to the mall, even if it's the purpose to buy anything, it's still good. So as you change your attitude and change your actions and put God's things first, you're going to find out that everything you do can actually be fun actually be something that you enjoy.
Yeah, especially because you're going with a purpose. That's 90% of the battle every day. You know, people who are suffering from sloth, and it's like they're losing the purpose. When you don't have a purpose, it's hopelessness, basically. So it gives you hope. To go with a purpose, you know, and it says whatever you do, it doesn't matter. We don't always have to like what we're doing, but if we do it unto God, it changes the, what is it, attitude of gratitude? It changes your attitude. And then all of a sudden, the atmosphere starts changing. Like Pastor was saying, it's an atmosphere of heaven starts to flow and come in. Yesterday, I went to Walmart. It was really late. They were going to get ready to close, and there was this woman in between the doorway, and she was asking people for money. And, you know, I didn't have anything right away. So I went to the car, I got your book, and I took out some money, and I went back, and I just had a conversation with her. I mean, she was a Christian, but she was struggling and everything. Mm-hmm. And she was so happy. You know, I told her a little bit about what I do, and she's like, oh, I'm going to listen. And she told me a little bit about her life. But that's exactly what you were saying. And it changed, you know, like I just walked by her, and then I said, no. Stop, go back, because it's an opportunity to have a purpose and a meaning to why, you know, God, I'm in the kingdom of God, you know. And so I did, and it was a nice meeting we had. We exchanged our names and a little bit of information, and, you know, we said a prayer and moved on. But it's extending the kingdom. It's letting people know there are other people out there that do care. You know, saying hello to people.
Yeah, I think we have to be present.
Yeah.
I think sometimes we're so busy doing all kinds of things, tasks or whatever, but we have to be aware and listen to the Holy Ghost to tell us, you know, to be present, to do something maybe out of the norm, to, you know, to pray for people or whatever he wants us to do, but we need to be present more.
Right. Right, not always in a rush and doing our own thing.
Yes.
Right. Be aware of what's around us, because that's where the opportunities come in. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, and this time of year, it's tough.
Yes.
I mean, it's stress to the world. Who cares if Jesus is coming? You know, we get to that point where we're so, got to do this, got to do that. Guy in front of me is holding me up. I got to go here. You get to the lines and you got 42 people ahead of you, and all he wants one thing and all this stuff. But if you keep on that same level of your purpose, basically when you're standing in line with 10 people, how do you know which one of them might need it? I'm not telling you to run to each one and say, get saved, get saved, get saved, get saved. I'm just telling you to be like Becky was talking about, be aware. Have your radar up.
Right.
Look around. You know, if somebody ahead of you says, I got to put this back because I ain't got enough money, then pay for the darn thing.
Yes.
Throw 10 bucks their way and pay for them. I mean, show them the love of God. Show them charity. It doesn't have to be a big thing. It's just the small things. But you're continually aware. And awareness is big in our lives of what you're aware about. And as long as you're aware about God's action and what God wants to do, don't worry about it. He is going to take care of everything else in your life. If he wants you to work for him, he's going to pay for everything that you need order to work for him and do what he wants to do. So God's big picture, you know, is on the move now. People are getting touched. People are getting changed. People are getting healed. You know, the devil just keeps losing people and he can't do nothing about it. He loses another one. He loses another one. We sing that one song, you know, devil lost another one. I am free.
Yeah.
And what happened? Somebody preached the gospel and that person got free and then he loses another one and loses another one. So basically, if you start doing that, start thinking about that. What does God want me to do here? What does he want me to do there? How does he want me to do here? And as you do that, basically, you're going to learn and you're going to get opportunities that you never noticed before were there. And you're going to start seeing the good in people also rather than the bad in people.
Yeah. And you know, when we say be aware, you know, God is aware of what the person in front of you needs. So if you're saying, I'm available, Lord, I'm going to pay attention and I'm going to be present, like you said, be present in this moment. He will let you know what he's aware of. He's aware of the. Yesterday, I was in another store, and this woman and the husband's like, "Come on, I'm online." He just put his credit card in, and she said, "I got one more thing," and the line was almost out the door. And she was at the last person on the line. She went online, and he already paid. So he's like, "There's nothing I could do now." So she had to wait on. And I said, "I was the next one in line," and I'm like, "Let her." It's okay. And there was all those people. I said, listen, she's filling his bags. Let her just pay for that, you know? And everybody was okay with it, you know? It wasn't like he was more concerned that everybody was going to be upset. But if one person shows the love of God and says, what's the big deal? The woman's filling his bag. Let him put a credit card in and get the last bag that she wanted, right? Everybody was okay. And we were all laughing. I'm like, come on, women. Have we all done this? The man's paying for everything. We're like, we got one more thing, and it's too late. So I had everybody laughing, and it was, you know. But it's those little things that change the atmosphere.
Yeah.
You know, rather than being, oh, I can't believe it. Now, you know, I got to let this person in front of me or somebody behind me, you know. God will give you what you need to make sure that it's peaceful, it's good when you're doing the right thing for God. You know, there's no chaos. There's no arguing. There's none of that. He's going to give you exactly what to say and how to say it and when to say it if you listen and you're present for it. Amen. It's so good. So being aware is a big key part of it. And that's why being rooted in his presence is so important every morning. You know, where am I rooted? Where do I start my day? Is it in the kingdom or is it in Facebook? You know, is it on the news? There's lots of ways. Or is it like making sure the kids are, you know, first? Sometimes, I mean, I had to make these changes. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But it only takes, sometimes you have to just set your alarm 5 minutes before everybody else. And just say, God, even if I'm just going to lay here and listen to what you have to say today. And that's, he knows that you started it with him. You know, and it's a good way to start. So that's a nice recommendation. Also, the gifts of the Spirit. You were talking about that on Wednesday, Pastor. You want to share a little bit about that, about how we use those to manifest God? And
yeah, there is. But if you really haven't looked at them or studied them much, chances are you're either using them or you're not. And even if you're using them, you probably don't know you're using them anyway. So the main thing is just to get closer to God through the Holy Spirit. And, you know, God may impress upon you, or like a word I like is influence. In other words, the Holy Ghost will influence you to do something. Maybe you walk up to somebody and he gives you something to say to that person. I don't want to make it a word because then everybody are waiting for a word. But something just comes out of the inside of you. You're just talking in a normal tone. You're not saying anything. The Holy Ghost saith at this time.
Right.
You're just speaking the word of God to somebody or into their life or saying it's going to get better or this or that. And when you do it, it's basically the Spirit of God influencing someplace else. Because the kingdom of darkness is influencing a lot of people in the world.
Yeah.
And once again, these people are, their problem is they're under the influence.
Right.
You know, God loves them. God wants them to be part of his kingdom. God wants them to be, you know, part of his God and sons.
Yeah.
But basically, they're under the wrong influence now. So we're going to need a godly influence to take care of their influence.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you try to influence somebody, don't worry if they don't get influenced. Because if they don't get influenced, sometimes you can get mad then or rejected. You know, I preached the gospel to them and they wouldn't even receive Jesus. But you did plant a seed.
That's right.
And you move on. It doesn't say you have to see the results right then and right there. You just continue to plant the seed in there, and somebody else will come along the second time, and maybe the third time they'll be born again. But they needed it the first time in order to get to the third time. So don't get depressed if somebody gets mad at you or get rejected or get all down on it. Well, I tried it. It didn't work. Just keep listening to the Amen. Holy Ghost and Amen. Follow the Spirit of God, because this is God's will. We know it's his will. He told mm-hmm. us it's his will and his plan. So that makes it very, very easy for us to do it. We just do what God tells us to do,
yeah.
and it'll work for you.
Praise God. Praise God. And if you do want, Past Time has two books. You can always call me, 631-745-7980, and I will get a book to you. Or you can call the WCNO, and they are at 772-221-1100. And this is Kingdom Recovery, this is at the King's Table with Pastor Tom, Miss Becky, and James. And James, do you have anything you want to say? Because we're going to pray out. We have a minute left.
Yeah, I'm good.
Would you like to close us out, Pastor?
Yeah, well, now you heard. I mean, you've been listening for the last hour. Maybe you've been paying attention. Maybe you're just doing the laundry or something. But now you got a choice to make right
Amen.
Now. I mean, do you want to do the purposes of God, or you want to keep going the way your life is going right now? I'm a Christian. 10 o'clock time to go to church. This should be good today. He's usually pretty good. I hope he ain't too long today. And you come back home and go back to work and back this. But we want your life to be happy. We want it to be joyous. We want it to be productive. And the way to do that is start doing what God wants to do and fulfilling what God wants done in this earth. And we've only got a limited amount of time, you know? So basically, because of that, you don't want to waste any hours. You don't want to waste any minutes. You don't want to waste anything. So Father, I just pray for everybody listening right now. I thank you for the Spirit of God on their life.
Yes.
I pray that this message went into their heart and into their mind and it changed the way they were thinking. I pray their mundane life will be filled with the power of God and the anointing of God and the purposes of God. And I thank you that you will be fulfilled in every single area of your life. We thank you for listening and God bless you.
Shalom, shalom. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is WCNO Kingdom Recovery, and we just pray everyone has a wonderful Merry Christmas and a wonderful week.
Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. to hear and experience another level of God's transforming power, where the truth makes you free. For more information about Kingdom Recovery, I can be reached at 631-745-7980.
All the glory to the God of life. All the glory to the God of love.
Hi there, this is John Nelson with FamiliesRecover.org. We offer hope and support for families being torn apart by addiction, enabling healthy decision-making that leads to a productive and meaningful lives. You can reach us at 772-285-5828.
Alzheimer's or dementia are terrible diseases affecting 7 million. Memory issues can be driven by the large number of medications that seniors take. Alzheimer's Treatment Centers of America has a proprietary tool that identifies drug-to-drug interactions that cause cognitive impairment and then prescribes alternatives. In the study of the Alzheimer's Treatment Center's protocol, 75% of the patients had no further decline in their mild cognitive impairment. Now open in Port St. Lucie, they may be reached at ATCA.AI or 772-298-4477.
She sighs and sweetly kisses precious newborn son.
day is finally ended. The labor of love is done. There's darkness in the manger. The shadows dance and fight. But Mary holds the light in her arms tonight. The sky is filled with wonder above the shepherds and their sheep. A host of angels singing awakens them from sleep. They'll travel in